and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, I tell you, things are certainly looking bad. We wring our hands and we just worry and we just want to fall on our faces and hide from this world. Well, let me tell you something. Things are really looking good. We think about things that's happening in this world. To us, they really look bad, but it gives us hope and it gives us things to look forward to. As we know, the Bible tells us that things are going to wax worse and worse until the Lord Jesus comes back. Well, here's something to think about. As things wax worse and worse, that means it's closer for His coming the second time to this world. But the good news for us is those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ right now, those of us who are members of His body, we are the bride of Christ. We will be the bride of Christ. We look for the rapture of the church. We really don't look for the second coming. We look for the rapture when Jesus comes back and says, "Come up hither." So things are looking up. The worse it gets, the closer it is. Now, I'm not saying that we just need to throw our hands up and say, "Oh, well, what's going to be is going to be. I just might as well let it go and not do anything about it, not think about it and all this." Well, you know, we still have problems as saved people as we do look for the Lord to come back in the clouds. And I want you to know today that things will be better when we get home. And that's when Jesus comes back for us and He says, "Come up hither." We're going to go home with Him. Well, there's certain things that I'd like for us to look at, and we're not going to get through this entire subject today, but be sure and listen later on the other broadcast. You'll hear more of this as things will be better when we get home. And we're going to start looking into our text, which is Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24 in just a moment. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 54, it says this, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, let me remind you of something. Anytime you see the word mystery in the Word of God, what follows is what the mystery is. So, here's the mystery. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this incorruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.'" We keep reading, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Do you love Him today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Well, He loved you so much that, you know, He gave His life for you. And we need to be serving Him today because we're not promised tomorrow. He could come back for us in the next second. He could come back for us, and we need to be busy for Him. But you see, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them." That's us. That's the saved people of this world who love Him. Well, our text, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24, this recounts the account in part of the prodigal son. And most often, preachers use this text to talk about backsliders or to the lost. And right now, I would like for us to look at a few things here about those who are saved by God's grace. And as we look into this passage, we see a young man with many problems in his life. And certainly there were doubts and fears about his present life circumstances and about the future. He faced regrets concerning his past, and he found that a person most definitely reaps what they sow. Well, the account gives us a young man who is a member of the family, but he is one who has strayed away. As a result, he finds himself in the midst of great difficulty and trouble. He sinks about as low as any person could go. Well, then he reaches a place where he experiences a turning point in his life. Verse 17 tells us that he came to himself. Apparently, this young man had been the victim of temporary insanity. By the way, that's what backsliding is. He came to himself and remembered how well he had things back at the Father's house. When a person gets away from God, that is temporary insanity. That is turning away from the one who has saved us, the one who is keeping us, the one, as I said earlier, the one Jesus is coming back for us. And we need to be close to the Lord. Well, this young man, he knew that he had it better back at his Father's house, and he knew that if he could just get home, that things would be better. I don't want to spiritualize this thing too much right now, but I do want you to know that sometimes I feel just like the prodigal son. Well, not in the sense that I have walked out on the Father. I just feel like it'll be better when I get home. And I often find myself longing to be at the Father's house, in His glorious presence. And I am sure you feel that way too from time to time. If so, then I have good news for you. One day, all of God's redeemed children are going home. And when we get there, we're going to find that it is better than it is here. And with that thought in mind, I would like for us to think on this thought. Things will be better when we get home. Well, let's look at it. When we get home, first of all, I believe that some things will be behind us. First of all, there will be no more sin. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 13 says this, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Well, there's an illustration in this. Notice the context here. The prodigal wandered away into a life of rebellion and sin. How many times have you and I done the same thing? We had in our lives, we had every intention of living for the Lord and doing well for His glory. But temptation came and we gave in to sin. Well, thank God, the day is coming when sin will no longer be a problem for you and me. We're going to a land where there will be no sin. And Revelation 21:27 says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Even this fleshly nature that we're in right now that gives us so much grief down here will be changed forever, and we will no longer desire the low things of life. Why? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53 says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We're going to know Him as He is, and we're going to recognize Him. But when we get home, there will be no more sin. And when we get home, there will be no more separation. Now notice that the prodigal found himself separated from the Father, and it turned out to be a miserable place to be. As you and I travel through this world, we're blessed in that we have received glorious promises from the Savior. There are still times when we give in to sin and lose our previous fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. It's not yours anyway. It's God's. God's given you eternal life. That's God's salvation for you. Well, there are times when we get into trouble and we lose our fellowship with the Father. Well, thank God there's a day coming when this will be no more. We will be perfected. We will be home, and we will be in his presence evermore. Now, notice I mentioned earlier that there's some precious promises from the Savior. Matthew 28:20 says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. That's Jesus. He's with us forever. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." In other words, let your life be without covetousness. "And be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Sometimes we feel forsaken, but that's not God's fault. He said, "I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you." It's a matter that we sometimes forget what God has said to us in his word. John 14:16-18 says this. Jesus said this, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." This is Jesus Christ. He's given us this assurance in his word that he's with us, that he's not going to leave us comfortless. Things seem to be bad. Things seem to be going from bad to worse in many lives that I come into contact with, and this world seems to be getting worse. Well, I've said before that the worse it gets, the closer Jesus is here coming for us. Save people today who are going to be caught up together with him in the clouds. Well, when we get home, there's not going to be any more sin. When we get home, there's not going to be any more separation. And notice, there will be no more straying. Luke 15:13, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Well, the prodigal took his leave of the father he left and headed out to live a selfish, sinful life. Well, doesn't that describe us most of the time? As the song says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Thank God. When our change comes, there will be no more straying. There will be no more wandering. When we get home, we will always abide in perfect fellowship with the Father in glory. And my question today, are you living for him? Before you can live for the Lord, before you can look for heaven, you must know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must realize that you're a sinner, for all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You must trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is the only way to heaven. You need to bow your head and say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my life. I'm sorry for my sin. I can't save myself. Please, Lord, save me so that I can be with you one day." If you'll ask Jesus to save you, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.